When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to Burning Daylight, the only podcast for the working cowboy.
Well, welcome back, Daylight Burners. Got a special guest today, a fellow by the name of Nico. Is it Lagan? Lagan? How do you
Lagan? Close enough, brother. Lagan's close enough.
Okay, that was the only other rhythm of the A sound that I didn't use, but.
No worries.
What's the history behind that name?
It's part of my real name. Like I'm a French guy from Montreal, so I've learned over the years of creating content that nobody can pronounce my last name. So figured I would. Sorry, I would shorten it.
Does it have an EAUX at the end?
No, but it does have accents. So I took the first four letters of my first name, the first five letters of my last, and kind of created a name that sounded somewhat cool. At least in my opinion, it did.
Okay, so you're the first. Are you from France or
Montreal? No, Montreal, Canada.
Canadian. Okay, so I've had plenty of Canadians on, but you're the first French Canadian I think I've had. Yeah. So that explains the accent as well. Not that you're hard to understand. It was hard to place with the because I was thinking some sort of Eastern European for a minute, and then I was like, no, I don't know. And so anyway, I don't know a whole lot about this fella, but I'm really looking forward to visiting with you. We're gonna have a chat on masculinity in general. That seems to be kind of your driving force, and. It's something I've pondered on this show and then just to myself for a while now. And it kind of goes back to the old, you know, like kids these days are soft. And then but the people that are bitching about the kids being soft are the ones that raised soft kids. And it's like a cycle of bitching, I think. And rather than getting anything done. And so. That's kind of my thoughts on masculinity nowadays. I just don't even buy into the whole toxic masculinity bullshit because it's gotten us into a terrible place in the world. And so I'm not going to address that side of thing. Like what can we do to make masculinity cool and what is masculinity? So I guess that being said, if you give a little quick rundown of your background, and then I got a few questions for you from there. So,
you know, before I do, there's something you said, there's a couple of things you said that are worth addressing, because what you're talking about is accountability. Like, mm-hmm. I can tell you if I'm very good, I'm a jack of all trade, right? I like to step back and just look at how everything's connected. And you can look at every single problem in today's society, and it doesn't matter that it's in North America, wherever in the world. Show me a problem, I'll show you somebody that didn't do their jobs. There's somebody somewhere that mm-hmm. didn't want to be accountable for their actions. That's where it stems from. And what, you know, what you described as in people are bitching about having soft kids. Well, guess what? You actually raised them that way. So yeah. Take accountability and take it from there. So accept the fact that it's your fault. That's where it starts, right? There's a good reason why you look at every single, how do they call them? Addiction programs like NA and AA. They always start there. Admit that there's a problem. And then the mm-hmm. second thing they're going to tell you is you're the problem. So there you go. Let's start being accountable from the get-go. Now, when it comes to, you know, toxic masculinity, I don't believe in toxic masculinity. Not as in a man that embraces his natural masculinity. The only mm-hmm. time that masculinity is toxic is when there's a lack of masculinity. And that's what you mm-hmm. see today. Like, men are supposed to serve. Men are supposed to protect. They're supposed to provide. That's what we're meant to do. That's in our nature. When you go against your nature, that's where you become toxic, because you're trying to be a woman. And this is what we're seeing today. Like, women and men are trying to tell us that there's no difference, and somehow we all need to meet in the middle. So that being said, my background comes from my dad leaving. Like, even when I was younger, my dad wasn't really around. Like, he wasn't that present, although my parents were married. But when I hit 14, my parents got divorced. My dad left. I can count on one hand the number of times I saw him afterwards until the time he died. And I was 29. So the next 15 years, he was not present at all. And, you know, boys are born, men are made.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris Rock says that. I don't know if you've seen the skit, but he talks about how there's only women, children, and dogs that are unconditionally loved. Men are only loved in the prospect that they bring something to the table. We always need to bring something to the relationship in order for us to be quote-unquote loved. And how do you achieve that? By becoming a good man, by being shown what it is to be a good man. And when I was 14, the guy that was supposed to teach me this stuff disappeared. So naturally, we'll look for people to emulate as men. I'm sure you do it today. We do it at every stage of our lives. We're always looking up to people, to men that we respect, to say, this is what I strive to be. But what the hell did I know what a good man was when I was 14 years old? So next thing you know, like within the first year, I was dropping out of school. I was doing drugs. I was becoming an alcoholic. I was doing all the wrong things. I became a thief. I became an asshole, basically. I was really not a good person. And this lasted for years. This lasted between 6 and 7 years. By 3 years after that, I was living on my own. So I literally had nobody, no supervision whatsoever. And, you know, my life changed when I took accountability in my early 20s. You know, if you look at the comfort zone, right? Everybody talks about it. Everybody says it's not a good place to be. But the thing people don't understand is the comfort zone is danger, because you're not hurting enough to change. It's only when you're hitting rock bottom that you're going to really have an opportunity to face yourself and say, you know what? It is the definition of insanity to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So when I hit rock bottom, when I was getting evicted from my third or fourth apartment, I had no place to stay. This was rock bottom to me. I was becoming homeless and I didn't know what to do. And I don't know if you believe in God, but I believe in God, and I don't believe in coincidences either, right? He has a tendency to work through people. And mm-hmm. I got a phone call from my mother back then that completely changed my life. She offered me a situation I've never considered. Like, to that point, I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I was hanging out with guys that were exactly like me. I was selling drugs to support my habits. And I never thought there was...
What was your choice, like how hard into the drugs were you? Like, what were you on? I guess
I was smart enough not to do what I sold. So I've never, I've always been smart enough not to go. I've done a lot of hallucinogens. I've done a lot of addictive drugs, but never cocaine, for example. This is a set because, man, my buddies and I used to sell that stuff. And you take a good look at somebody that's on it. I don't know if you ever had somebody inject themselves in front of you. I needed to see that once to tell myself I will never, never get there. Never will I ever get there. And, you know, my drug's choice was alcohol. If you look at it, even to this day, alcohol is the one I'll always, I don't want to say struggle, but it's the one that is the most dangerous to me.
That's kind of the same with me. Like I can get out of control with that at times, and it's a dangerous one. They showed the, it was an HBO documentary on meth, and it was just a bunch of meth heads in Iowa. And I saw those people all around growing up too.
Yeah.
And that shit was enough to scare me away from meth forever. Like I never had the desire to even get a taste of it. I was like, no, I tried coke a couple times, and I could see how people got really addicted. And so I was like, no, I'm good without going any further. But booze is a tough one because it's readily available. And, and I live in Nevada, so Walmart has, booze and, booze. the gas station has hard booze.
And you know, the biggest problem, I don't know for you, but for me is, anger. I am not a good drunk. Like I can be a very good drunk or I could be a terrible drunk, and it normally changes like this. Tiny little things happen and I will lose my shit on alcohol. So, you know, for years I did not drink at all. When I decided to stop, I just stopped for years. I went again in a pattern. I wasn't an alcoholic, but every time I drank, I was always drinking too much. I was always getting into that point where I was becoming an asshole. Mm-hmm. Now, over the past 5-6 years, I would say, I'm capable of drinking one drink. Like, I'll have one or two drinks with a cigar sitting outside. I'll do this once a month, once every few months. It's just mm-hmm. special occasion. It's almost like I have something to celebrate, for example. But outside of that, I don't drink. Like, I try not to drink at all.
Yeah, I go in spurts, but that's drugs are a weird one because all of them have some benefit to them. It's always the moderation thing. It's the moderation thing that kills people. Yeah. It's the inability on the moderation.
But sometimes it gets even worse than that because I've met a lot of functional alcoholic. Like they know better than to drink at home, to drink at work. But as soon as they clock out, as soon as they're on their time, they're drunk. But they're capable of really separate. Somehow they've learned how to apply it in places that doesn't affect their jobs. And we see a lot of those. Like weed is the same thing. I've smoked weed for a very, very long time. And we can argue that some people will argue that it's not addictive. I can tell you that it is. It's bullshit when you say that it's not addictive because people chase the effect of weed. Oh, it allows me to sleep right there. It's no better. If you have to do it, it's an addiction.
Right.
And that also is readily available. Like where I'm from in Canada, you can literally go work. They have stores just right next to the liquor store, and you can literally buy probably 400, 300 different types of weed in whatever form that you want. You check in there. You're like, I want this and that size, that many. I want it either liquid. I want it in buds. I want it already rolled. I want it whatever you want that's mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. So that is kind of the same way too. It's, they're depends on where what part of Nevada, but they're like Reno or Vegas. Yeah, there's dispensaries on every street corner, and you know, I'm a user myself, so I I'm but it's also one of those things. It's the burnout, the stoner burnout's a real thing. We all know those people. It's stereotypes exist for a reason, you know. But also, you can look at some of the most high functioning people on Earth, and they're high most of the day too. So it's just, it all affects
it's a control, but it's and, a control.
Yeah,
it's really good. You know, earlier we were talking about accountability. It also, the day you become accountable, you start becoming mindful. You start realizing the type of person that you are. And what works for me might not work for you, and vice versa. And that's right. Okay. But that's up to you as an individual to figure that shit out for yourself. Nobody else can do it outside of you. We can give you our advices, but to know that you react well to something and not to the other, there's only you that can figure that out. We can't really know that for you. But as much as we look at weed, for example, and I smoked a lot of weed for a long time, as much as, let's say that it's not addictive. I'll bite the bullet and I'll say that it's not addictive. So many people, if not every single person that I know that's a high smoker, that will smoke every day, doesn't accomplish much in their lives, because this will literally numb your brain. And this is the thing. Okay, maybe you're not addictive. Sure, no problem. Maybe you're not going to act violent like an alcoholic. That's no doubt about it. There's a massive difference there. But there's not a lot of very high achievers that are on weed. Most of the guys that I know that smoke weed, they still play a shit ton of video games. And they do a lot of sitting their asses down and not much else. So, yeah. And I think you can go even further than that, because I'm a fan of psychedelics. Like, to this day, I will use psychedelics once, twice, like once a year, once every 2 years, because we're talking psilocybin mushrooms, we're talking ayahuasca, because I'm looking to develop my meditation practice. Like, I'm trying to hit new places that I can explore within my own self, but it's always done with an intention. And this, I think, is what we're missing. And the same is true for alcohol. The same is true with all the drugs that are out there. Anything that changes your state of mind, anything that changes your state of consciousness should be done with awareness. Like weed to me, if I get a weed that's super chill, I will sometimes use it at night just before, like maybe 45 minutes before I go to bed. I'll smoke like 2-3 puffs and a pipe and I'm done. But it just relaxes my brain when I'm super, let's say I'm stressed out or whatever. I can't seem to cool down. Few puff, chills, I go to bed. But I'm fully aware of when I'm using it and for the reason that I'm using it. And I think this is the disconnection that affects a lot of people, is not understanding that it does change your state of mind. You're not yourself when you're drinking. There, even if it's not a big switch, there's still a switch. But understand the reason why you're doing it. Caffeine looks like you're drinking coffee right now. It's no different.
Okay.
Like, people don't understand, and it's a drug. It will alter your state of consciousness, and people use it like it's nothing. Yet 90% of the people on the planet use, 90% of adults on the planet drink coffee.
Yeah,
that does change your state of mind.
It's a stimulant. If you get a high sativa strain of weed as well, that's for a workout, because it almost has like a Ritalin effect or an Adderall effect, because you just become super focused and you can get some really killer workouts when you're just high as fuck like that. But
why do you think it's not legal in fighting? Why do you think like the Diaz brothers would have loved that to be available when they were fighting in the UFC still? Because that's what they say. It focuses their mind to a point that makes they're not able to do that naturally.
Right. A lot of bull riders, same way. It slows things down because bull riding's, you're trying to be proactive. let's face it. You're reacting to the bull. Yep. Like, you're trying to outguess him. But you're the whole time you're reacting. So if it slows it down, then it gives you that edge up. And so the people that say it's not a performance enhancing drug, I disagree. It is, but it's not in the same way that steroids are a performance enhancing drug. it's
again, it's, I but it has a different effect on different people,
right?
Because I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Rise of the Superman. Mm-mm. Very, very interesting book. Basically, it's based on high level athletes that specializes in very crazy sports, like, let's say, rock climbers that do it freestyle, like no ropes, no nothing. They just do it. Mm-hmm. So every time that they compete, they have a chance of dying. And they explain how the mindset that they're capable of reaching with their mind, like the zone, as they call it, mm-hmm. is only achievable because they're almost dying. Like every time there's a chance for them to die. So they somehow adapt their brain to focus on everything that they do. So they're capable of just going so small, nothing else matters except that. So there's people that can do it naturally. Like there's people that need almost, but they're so relaxed that nothing else matters. There's no time. Yeah. There's nothing else. It's just because they know deep down that if they mess up, they're dead. So the book is very interesting because of the addictive nature of it. But the point is that some people are capable of doing that naturally. Some people need something, a helper, like let's say weed, like a high string of sativa, like you were saying, that will help them go there. Is it again, I don't think it's a problem. Because if it's used in a way that it's conscious, what's the problem?
It's the same as using, a post workout. It's building on something. So, I rode a lot of, not necessarily bucking horses. I did a few in rodeos here and there, not many, but I've rode a lot of young horses that bucked. And, there's always that moment, like when you swing your leg over and your leg's parallel to the ground, and then you're like, this is the no return point. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
And everything, for me anyway, everything always kind of slowed down. I know that doesn't happen for everybody, but like the people that can ride a bucking horse or have before and are pretty decent at it, they all have that moment where it just everything kind of locks in. And then you add the right strain of weed on top of that, or say an Adderall or whatever, some sort of deal that focuses you like that. If you already have the skill, that just enhances it. So that's why thus the name performance enhancing. Barry Bonds was going to hit 500 home runs on his own, pretty easily. But the steroids, did that help him? Of course it did. Helped him recover and get bigger. And he was on his way to being one of the all-time greats before the roids. So it's not that the ability wasn't there. It was just the enhancement of what was already a remarkable ability.
Well, there's nothing scarier than a genetic freak on steroids. Like you get a guy like Barry Bond. He was a genetic freak. He was born above. That doesn't mean that he didn't have to work for it. No. If you look at guys that are competing at that level, if you look at a Michael Phelps, for example, in swimming, they analyzed his body and they said that guy was born to swim. Somehow he found his way to swimming and had the mindset that nobody else has in the world. Like he is the highest decorated athlete in the in the Olympics of all time. Why? Because he's a genetic freak, but he has the actual work ethics to do what he did. You look at a Ronnie Coleman, same thing. Like biggest, probably one of the most known bodybuilders of all time, but he was a genetic freak on top of it's amazing. It amazes me to see genetic freaks because I'm not one, but I look at those guys.
Francis Ngannou is another one where he's 260 and shredded, absolutely shredded. He knows a little bit of jiu-jitsu, which is terrifying, and then he can literally punch your head clean off. Like he drops,
and his technique is not great, huh?
No,
like he doesn't have good techniques.
But he went toe to toe, and some say beat
he did. He absolutely beat him. But
I think so.
Did he take him seriously? That's the question, right? I don't think he trained as hard as he could, but that's not the point. You know, JSP made that mistake against Mancero. Years and years ago, like, oh, that guy won the UFC fighter. He has no place with me. Guess what? You got dropped you lost your title because you didn't take him seriously. So if that's what you did, that's on you. But in my opinion, he should have won that fight because he dropped him. And it wasn't a slip. He dropped him.
He dropped that sucker. I mean, it was a good fight. And then at the end, Francis was kind of imposing his will. He was walking him down and eating shots, walking him down. And
he's a big boy, yeah.
And the guy can box a little bit. He's not a great boxer yet, but that power in his hands makes him he's in every fight. Yeah.
And a guy like him that learns how to box is very scary, cuz again, that's genetics.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of guys on the planet that can turn off anybody's light at will. If that guy connects once, you're going dodo. You're sleeping.
And then you put years of essentially a concrete mine work where he's just moving shit with his just pure bulk for days on end and years on end. Like that guy's a genetic freak on top of just backbreaking work for years on end. And then now he's in prize fighting and he is so fun to watch.
And he's a cool dude. Like, I don't know if you read his story, if you saw his background. His background's super cool. The guy's just freaking lovable. I like the guy. when he quit the UFC, he wanted to help other fighters change their pace. That's one of the things that he wanted. In order to defend his title, he wanted to change the way fighters were paid. Nobody else has ever done something like that. Like, he really came from a position of power to say, Dana, you know what? I want to fight for you, but you're going to have to make some changes. It didn't happen, but he's not losing money. I guarantee he's making a lot more money right now than he would have done fighting in the UFC. But, you know, we're talking about, see, this is very interesting because we're talking about masculinity. What Ngannou is doing is what a courageous man is supposed to be doing. Men are supposed to be ballsy. Men are supposed to have courage. And you look at a guy like him that went out of Africa, somehow found his way to France, because let's agree that he didn't do it legally, but if you heard the story, he shouldn't have survived either, and somehow found himself into a MMA gym and started training and fighting. And now he's like on the biggest payday of his, on the biggest chance of his career, of his life. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to do it if you don't help other fighters. Like, this is incredible. We don't see that very often, but men today are more and more selfish, and he showed something that was selfless. And look at how he's being rewarded right now. He's getting the biggest. If it wasn't for him wanting to help other fighters, he wouldn't have been fighting the boxing champ. He wouldn't be fighting in other organizations that are going to pay him way more than he could have ever done in the UFC, and he has a lot more control about what he's capable of doing. So it's incredible. It's a guy like him is a man. That's a fucking man right there.
Yeah, I think that's very there's a lot of different examples you can, like, Thomas Massey he's like the one politician in the United States that I consider courageous. Like, during the COVID deal, when they're like everybody wanted to just zoom into this meeting and give away trillions of dollars, and Thomas Massey said, no, we are elected to actually talk about this stuff. And if you're going to vote for the biggest spending bill ever, put your name behind it. And he had both sides coming at him. And that's one guy. Anytime there's a vote, it's like 99-1. Go find out what the one guy's reason for not voting. Cause that's a courageous 100%. Person regardless. Even if they're wrong, that's courageous. Like, I want to see what their issue is. And like, Joe Rogan's another one. You know, he took his cushy life in LA and made a cushy life in Texas. Don't get me wrong. He didn't face any real hardship, but he faced some heat. I mean, he had the freaking head of the COVID task force calling him out by name. He had the president of the United States call him out by name, and like, that's no small thing. No. And there's been men that I thought were stronger than Rogan that buckled for way less. And, you know, so like, that's, to his credit, he did his thing and he didn't back down. I mean, he was, he, he apologized when he was wrong, which is what you're supposed to do, accountability, and then continue to do what you think is right. Like that's the whole thing. That's the masculine thing, is right's not popular a lot of times. The right thing
is because it's hard.
Yeah.
But look at Elon Musk. That's another one. Like him or not, like that guy or not, that guy's raising his middle finger to people. Don't agree with me? I don't care. You know, he never shied away to share. Again, agree with him or not, he don't care. He bought a whole social media platform to kind of give you a middle finger to say, I will give a platform to people that can do. Is he doing a great job or not? Time will say. But one thing is, he's never shied away. He wasn't scared that Tesla would lose money because he shared his opinion. He didn't care. People has asked him, and it happens. You'll see Tesla share goes down. They go up and down depending on what he's saying. And he don't care. He really does not care.
No, which it's amazing. I don't know if you're aware of this app. It's from the group Unusual Whales, which tracks the stock trades of congressional leaders and big hedge funds.
Oh boy.
And they created an app that you can sync up to Robinhood or E-Trade or whatever. And they created portfolios. And so they have the Nancy Pelosi stock tracker. They have Dan Crenshaw stock tracker, and it just mirrors their stock trades. And I invested a little bit in it. I've been in it a month and it's up 6%. There's, you know, with all this shit that goes on, the shady stuff, the market provides a way to get around that. Like people are like, hey, look at what these people are doing. They're making money hand over fist, and we know they're getting insider trading. I don't know, just do what they do and you'll make money too. Just use their shady shit against them. Go ahead and, you know, put $20 on that stock if they're doing it too. You know it's going to go up, or once they're selling, you know it's going to go down.
The only fallacy with that though is that most of their investing are going to be done through shell corporations, so you're not seeing the big, like the one that you can track are the ones that they can legally do without really getting into too much trouble.
The real money is all. Yeah.
This is the one we'll never get to see, because if you understand how corporations work, it's easy to hide yourself in there. Corporation that owns another corporation that owns another corporation that's owned by a trust fund. There you go. You'll never be found. Nobody's ever going to know where the money's coming from.
The whole idea of a corporation is to take the accountability off of one individual. It's to spread the liability out.
Well, you know, the same thing for an LLC and a corporation. I have multiple LLCs, and it's to protect myself against a lawsuit. Because at the end of the day, that's what it is, right? I say a lot of stuff online. Like I post a lot of stuff, and a lot of people don't agree with me. That means that if I hurt somebody's feelings, they could go after what I'm saying. But if you go after me, I don't care. I don't own shit. Go after me all you want. I don't own any money. Everything's under LLC, so to me, it doesn't matter. But that's why they're there. To me, that's why they're there.
Yeah.
Just so I'm sheltered, so my assets are sheltered from people being able to just suing me. Fucking lazy bastards. Just for suing me and getting what I've created because they don't want to work for it. So it's...
Yeah. Well, it's amazing as the standard in the U.S. is like $20 damages. But if you like extrapolate that back to, you know, from 1791 or whatever, 81, 1791, I think, to today, like the inflation on that would be like, you'd have to have at least like a $2 million claim against somebody to be able to file a lawsuit or something. Like, I don't know what the exact inflation rate is, but it's a lot more than $20, you know, it's a pretty absurd amount, but it's, yeah, a lot of frivolous lawsuits and a lot of people doing it just because they're lazy. Like you said, just fucking lazy. They're
lazy, or they do it because they know it's going to crimp. Like, look at what's going on with Trump, for example. Like him or not, the Democrats are suing him head over fist because they know it takes him away from his campaign.
Death.
That's why they do it. at 100%. They cannot beat him face to face. They cannot beat him one on one. So they created ways through the legal system in order to attack him. And, you know, however you feel about it, like him, don't like it, does not matter. You have to agree that there's a certain standard now. I was just working on a video that I'm going to release as soon as we're done here about, I don't know if you heard what Conor McGregor said over the weekend, but he talked about Ireland. You know, there were stabbings in Ireland, like five or six. So he talked about it. He called some of the, I think it was some of the ministers, he called them spineless. And basically he told them, he gave his opinion and called them a bunch of pussies is basically what he said. And now they're launching an investigation on him for hate speech because they just passed a law. So now you got a guy that I don't even like. I'm not a fan of Conor McGregor. I have respect for what he's done because it's incredible what he's been able to do. But as a person, I don't like the way he did it. I don't like the person. But that doesn't mean he shouldn't be allowed to say whatever he has to say. I believe in free speech. 100% free speech all the time. I want to know what people have to say because I like to give people so much rope that they can hang themselves with it. I love it. But then you look at New York Mayor Eric Adams. He dare speak against Biden. And not because he's morally saying we shouldn't accept those illegal immigrants. He's literally just saying this because they're going bankrupt. So he's kind of saving his own ass because they don't have any money. So he's a real Democrat. But now Democrats are attacking other Democrats with the same tactic that they've been doing against guys like Trump, against Republicans. Now you're seeing the snake, the head of the snake is attacking its own tail. And that's where we're at right now. But it's incredible. We are there now. We are there. Look at Russell. What's his name? Russell Brand. Somehow he talks against what's going on. Oh, sexual assault. Yeah, of course. No proof. No nothing.
He somehow made it through the whole nation being as frivolous, being as big of a man whore as that guy was. Yeah. He made it through the whole Me Too movement without anything coming out, and now all of a sudden, like 2 to 3 years of being kind of just behind Joe Rogan is on the influence scale. And now they're coming after him. Okay. Right. Because he's got an opinion that doesn't line up with the regime. That's what it is. And
look at Chauvin.
He was full on the sanctuary policies that
of
brought,
course he was.
That brought a bunch of these migrants there. And then, and I really don't like this method, but at the same time, it is effective because I don't like the just shuffling of human beings around for political means. But I mean, Texas, Florida, all these governors, they have a point. Like, we got a problem here and we can't send these people back because you guys made it illegal to send them back. But we didn't want them here. And now they're here. We're sending them to you because you're a sanctuary state. You're going to give them sanctuary now. That's what you said you were going to do. Have at it. And I don't like the process, but logically it all tracks. And is it more or less humane? I don't know. It's gross all the way around, but I understand why they're doing it. It makes sense to me. And it also makes sense to me why Eric Adams is like, hey, we're not set up for all these migrants. Okay. Well, neither was Florida. Or Texas, whatever, you know, like nobody was. So we got to he's finally saying let's address the problem. Finally, somebody on the Democrat side's like, they're admitting that this is a problem. And now all of a sudden they're coming after him. So it's funny you brought that up. I had that same kind of suspicion. I was like, is he actually dirty or is it just because he didn't bend the knee?
There is a, what's the term? There's a statute of limitation now of 30 years for sexual assault. The suit was deposited on the day of the 30th anniversary. Literally, that was the last day he could be put in. They put it in. If there's one thing I know, is that there's no such thing as coincidences. If you believe in coincidences, it's because you're not fucking paying attention. There's no such thing as coincidences.
Yeah, and you know, since we're discussing masculinity on this episode, that is the least masculine move you could possibly 100%. Do. Wait till the last minute to. That is the most bitchy woman move of all time, is just bringing up old shit right when everybody's about to forget about it and doesn't matter anymore.
It's interesting because if you look all around you, you see the lack of masculinity everywhere. That's all we've been talking about. You see, from one side, you see men being manly, and then you see a lot of men being extremely feminine.
Yeah.
And it's all around us. It's like a guy like Eric Adams. I don't have a lot of respect for him because he was for it. Now, to me, he's just paying the price. If you said no from the get-go, I would have had respect for him. But because you right now, it's not a moral standpoint. Now, he's not saying out of morality that we shouldn't be doing this. No, it's because he can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
If the government would give him money for it, he's only bitching because the government's not paying for it.
Right.
If the federal government would be signing checks left and right, he would have been very happy to keep those people because those are free votes for him. Like, let's not lie. Let's not forget why Democrats have been doing that for years. And I hate to do it about left and right because I'm a libertarian. I sit somewhere in the middle. Yeah. But this is a tactic that's been used forever.
Yeah. Oh, the Democrats have, I mean, like, what was the boss? In New York, Boss Tweed, you know, that was the thing. It was get Irish immigrants right off the boat, registered Democrat, you know, that's,
Bob Tweed. Wow. You're going back far. Oh, wow. Yeah. They actually talk about it in Gangs of New York, like the actual movie. That's a great movie. Yeah. Oh, wow. You're that's going back. Yeah. It took me a second to figure out what the hell you were talking about.
Yeah. It's, the Republicans have always been behind on that game. Like they've never been able to, they don't compete that way. You know, they have their set of rules that they compete by. And a lot of, that's why they get outmoved a lot. They get beat a lot because they don't fight dirty for the most part.
Go even more than that. Like one of the things, like I help content creators build their social media platform, right? That's something that that's how I make a lot of my money. And one of the things that I've told so many times, I've said this to so many of my Republican friends. I'm like, guys, you don't understand. The reason the Democrats or the liberals are beating you guys is because you don't understand the social media game. You're not using it to the point of, look at a liberal in Canada, for example. They're absolutely amazing on social media. You look at our prime minister, he's a big diva that's on social media day in, day out. There's always stuff being posted about him that comes from him. It's posted, posting. And the Democrats are no different. Like they're extremely, extremely AOC, one of the biggest tool ever created, but yet her social media game is great. How do you think she got to where she is? Because she's always there. As much as I can call her an idiot, she's not that stupid. As much as I don't agree with anything that she says, she ain't stupid. She knows what she's doing because she's not that bright, but she ain't stupid either. She knows how to get in front of people and keep on repeating the same thing and same thing. That's marketing terms. You will start paying attention and your brain will start believing it because people are telling you, always the same thing.
She's not complex, but she's effective.
Very well put, brother. That's a very good way to. She's not complex, but she's effective. I love it. That's brilliant.
You could say the same thing about Trump. Like he is not. Yeah. He says what he says. He does things that are going to be good for Donald Trump. Like that's number one thing. Donald Trump likes Donald Trump. You love America? I think so, but I think he loves Donald Trump more. That's the kind of the heart of the whole thing of how he works. But he's not complex about that. If you understand that, then Trump's he's pretty predictable, you know? Is this good for Trump? Like he has no problem going back on a position either. He's just like, is this good in the moment? Sure. This is an ace that nobody's playing. I'm going to play that ace.
And he's ballsy. Because one thing, though, if you, you know, as a Canadian, I can tell you that although I've been traveling the U.S. for 13 months now, I can tell you that from an outside's perspective, you look, if you can separate the personality from Donald Trump, if people were able to do this, he's one of the best presidents you guys have ever done, I've ever had.
Yeah.
When it comes to what he's put in place, what he's done for the American people, it was incredible. Like a guy, if you would have given him 8 years, you guys would not be. If he was at the, he was the president during COVID. Oh balls! What happened with Sleepy Joe? Would have never. It would have been the polar opposite of what happened.
Yeah, he was, but he, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff he could have done during COVID that that he didn't do, and he has his faults. I liked a lot of his policies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was great at marketing to one half, terrible at marketing to the other. Like he was a good heel. He played the heel really well when he needed to, and he leaned into his base and he's grown it. Like he's grown the base, but it's, it's not without some ups and downs, but they, they've come, I've never seen him come at a guy so hard. I mean, I wasn't around for JFK, but I have to imagine it's kind of the same kind of feeling. Like the Democrat establishment wasn't real sure about Kennedy either. You know, he was a young blowhard.
He was a real liberal. He was a classical liberal.
Yeah,
which is closer to a libertarian of today.
He was much more in line with like the Wendell Willkie who lost to FDR, who was the non-interventionalist. He was like, hey, we should stay out of this war again. Like, let Europe fend for itself. Like, it's kind of a familiar resonance, you know, like George Washington warned about it in his farewell speech. And then it's always just we're a bunch of bullshit in Europe that doesn't really concern us that we get involved in and send a bunch of weapons and men to go die. And it's like, can we maybe not do that again? Like, it seems like they haven't got their shit figured out yet. So let's not help them. Let's not help the destruction over there again. Like,
and we're in the best situations to do it because we're an island. If you look at North America, mm-hmm. it's a massive island. If we choose to close the border and say, you know what, we will deal, like I'm talking to us Canadians and Americans, we just say, you know what, let's bring back every single military person that we have. We will make sure that our border is secure, that we are defended, that we're taking care of our own people. That would change. Like, we have the potential to do it because of the way our big island is built. But we, and you know, the fallacy in this is, look at what they tell you in an airplane. You know, the first thing they tell you with the air mask, take care of yourself before you take care of your children or any dependents. Yeah. We can't even, they tell you this in fucking airplanes. We can't even do this with our own government. Like, just the money that you guys have spent sending to Ukraine and now sending to Israel. And I'm not debating should they have the money or not. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is look at it for the money. Just to say you guys have sent hundreds of billions of dollars. They say that you could get rid of homelessness in the U.S. with about $100 billion. You guys have spent more money on other countries within the past 3 years when you could have simply taken care of every single homeless person that you have. You could have taken care of all the veterans that you have that are being forgotten everywhere. Debate all you want if you agree with what they did. It doesn't even matter right now. You need to take care of them. They're your countrymen. They deserve to be okay. And it's not like the money's not there. The money is there. It's just we choose, and the Canadians are no better. We do that all the time too. We take that money and we send it overseas. Why? Why are we not taking care of our own people? Obviously, people don't care. Like, let's not lie to each other. Do you trust government? I don't. Like, I don't.
Not even a little bit.
There's no way you can. But again, as a libertarian, you also believe that extremely small governments are I believe in the right of the individual. I believe to educate and build morals on which your individuals are being brought up on,
right?
And they will take care of your community. Because what's a society? It's a bunch of people that decide to live together and say, we will base our understanding, we will live under shared values. We agree that mm-hmm. this is the way we want to live. Yeah, we vote. Okay, cool. Good. This is a society.
Yeah.
Give the rights back to the people and stop having, you know, you were talking about parents earlier, saying that parents are pissed off because their kids are a bunch of pussies. And then you're like, yeah, but hold on. You raised them that way. Now those same kids, instead of finding out what's wrong with them and trying to change them and trying to evolve, they will depend on the government for their second set of parents, because they literally leave their parents to go live on their own to be dependent on the government. This is what the government has become, like the parents that are eternal parents that supposedly will take care of us instead of us deciding to take care of ourselves.
Well, and, you know, it goes like, for instance, all these wars, like America has lost the moral high ground because we went and fucked up a bunch of Middle Eastern countries for essentially no reason. It all started essentially with one guy and about a couple hundred of his cronies that we could have took out and had the war ended by Christmas of 2001. But instead, they waited. They let him get away into Pakistan. And then they sent in the full military, because war is profitable for a lot of people, especially big wars like that. Like the more, the better. Like when you're building fucking Taco Bells at military bases in Afghanistan, that's big money, you know. That's big money rolling through there. That's not even to mention the weapons involved. That's just like the logistics, and
the people in charge are feeding both sides of the war too. Like if you understand that Bin Laden was a CIA agent, like he was CIA trained, like that guy worked for the U.S. literally worked for the U.S.
And he was trained to draw a global superpower into Afghanistan and milk them until they are bankrupt. And holy shit, he did a pretty good job of accomplishing that, didn't he?
and this is why, if I go back to a guy like Trump that is not a politician, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
He is the first president since Bush went after the Middle East as hard as they've done, that did not bomb the Middle East as much as the prior president.
Yeah.
Like Obama, as much as people are not all in awe of Obama, he's the president that bombed the Middle East the most.
Obama was a gangster. He was he was smooth, but he was a gangster.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, he was. There's nothing worse than a guy like Obama, because he's too good of an orator. You listen to this guy talk, you're like, oh, he's amazing. As somebody that's a sales guy, as a sales expert, and somebody that studies psychology every day, I look at a guy like him and I'm in awe of a guy like that. Just because of the way he speaks. It's amazing the way he speaks.
I think Obama still had a little bit of imposter syndrome, though, because he didn't fuck with the big players too much. You know, like
why would he?
He spied on Germany a little bit. He was pretty friendly towards Iran. Trump came in and Soleimani's the guy that, you know, is responsible for all these insurgents in Iraq. Okay, nuke him. Boom. Just took him out with a switchblade missile, which is just a giant blade. It's not even an explosive warhead. Like, he just eviscerated him, which is also pretty gangster, but like, that was essentially their Iran's number two guy in the entire country. He had more power than the president, probably more power than the Ayatollah, even, you know, because he ran the military. He's just dead.
But you know, you said it earlier. I don't know why we get involved in that shit.
Yeah,
I don't know why we're even involved in these things, because now you got a superpower, the next superpower in China, that's already making deals with the Russian, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. So you get some of the richest countries on the planet that are going to align with each other. And you look at what goes on in Israel and Palestine, China's like, hey, they're going to back Palestine if the U.S. keeps getting involved in Israel. They don't care. If the U.S. would have been for Palestine, China would have picked Israel. It doesn't matter. Right now, they're just going to play. They've been playing the long game for 30 years. And now they're finally at the end where they can actually start pressing. And look at the, you know, one of my buddies sent me that a few years ago. It was, he sent me the recruitment videos of some of the armies in the world. He sent me the Chinese one. He sent me the Russian one. And then he sent me the American. I could not understand a word of Chinese, either Mandarin or Cantonese, whatever they were speaking. I cannot understand a word. But man, by the end, I wanted to be in the military. Same thing for Russia. I'm looking at this, and as a man that likes guns and martial arts, I'm like, fuck yeah, motherfuckers, where do I sign up? But then you look at the American one, they're talking about their gender and how important it is to be raised by two women. Like, come on, bro. Like, just there, you can see that there's a big problem.
They're and they realized it, and big army is slow to you know, it's like turning an aircraft carrier. It takes a little bit of time. And but you're seeing, like, I've noticed, I've been in the during football commercials this year, you're seeing a lot of like the 90s style army commercials where when you're done, you're like, fuck yeah, I'll go sign up, go fight. And
Bud Light.
Yeah.
They messed up bad with putting a transgender on the can. They lost billions of dollars. Now they just signed up with Dana White for the UFC. And you know, people are giving shit to Dana White for doing it, and I don't care. I don't drink water, so I don't drink beer water. So to me, it does not matter. I'm not a drinker either way, so it doesn't matter. But I understand what they're doing. They're like, hey, bro, we helped you out years ago when you weren't that big, when you were trying to make it. So of course Dana's like, yeah, I got you. Like, he owes it because they made him, they were the first real sponsor that the UFC's ever had. You have Bud Light, you're talking number one beer in the US that's now sponsoring the UFC. It's a big deal. But every single company that went woke is paying the price for it now. Every single one of them. It does not work out. They're going to have people. You know, it's the silent majority. And I talk about this all the time in my videos, where people are starting to understand what Jewish people have understood 1,000 years ago. If you band all together, you can make things change. You can say, you know what, where I'm from in Montreal, there's a massive Jewish community. And one thing that they do is they'll have an organization where all the Jewish business owners are going to come together and say, okay, those are the products and services that I need to run my business. They're all going to do that. And then the people at the head of the organization are going to start buying in bulk. When they put a contract out there, it's not one business. It's every single business that needs that product or service. So if you don't win, you lose the whole thing. But that is voting with your money. That is extremely intelligent to do. And I think that 2023, people are starting to realize that it actually works out. Look at what happened to Bud Light. Look at what's happening to Disney. Look at what's happening with Target. You look at those massive, massive companies that have been telling us what they wanted from us for years. And now people are like, no, hold on. You went too far. No, sorry, you went too far. We're not going to go for it anymore. And then people are even smarter. They're like anti-woke company. Look at what the Daily Wire is doing. They're creating a bunch of companies, and they're like, we are your anti-woke solution. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yep. But this is, again, this all lines up with masculinity, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's time, though, that people that are part of the silent majority do something about it. Like, the reason men are so weak today is because men have allowed it to happen.
Yeah,
you know, I was absolutely true. One of my followers sent me a video, and I absolutely loved it. It's it's something they're in front of an abortion video, abortion clinic, and there's a little skinny white guy with his mask on, and he's trying to prevent people from going to it, as in they're protesting the abortion clinic. And all you can see him go, and then you hear a voice. It's just like, hey, you do understand that what you're doing right now is assault. And then he stops and he starts looking at the camera, and the guy continue talking, and he's like, one thing that you need to understand is that the only reason that you're still walking right now is that I'm a controlled individual. But you need to know that if I wanted to hurt you, you wouldn't be walking right now. You wouldn't be able to. If you think that you can prevent us from doing something, you're sadly mistaken, boy. You're just a coward. You're just a little guy mm-hmm. that's never taken care of anything in his life. Now you're acting like a child, but you don't realize that you're not stopping anything. The only reason this is happening is we're allowing you to do it.
Yeah.
The video's great because you see the face of the guy. The guy's like, that never occurred to him that he was literally physically blocking people. And as a martial artist, I was looking at that. I would have swept him with an elbow. I would have swept your front leg, elbow down the middle, and I would just continued walking. You're touching me? Bro, that's an open invitation. That's self-defense. At this point, I'm taking care of you. But This is what the silent majority needs to bring back. This is what men need to do. We need to stop letting people act like little children and not give them the consequences that they deserve to learn.
Yeah. And it starts at home. Like I teach my kids to be respectful, polite, but stand up for yourself. You don't back down. You, and like for me, it was just like, I've been tired of forever, particularly in the cowboy world. I'm sure it's been the same since the cowboy was invented back in the day. But it's like kids hard, so hard to find good help. And it really is. It is. And there is an issue with the younger generation being soft. And but yeah, it's like some of these old hands that I look up to. And it's like, man, where did you fail on your parenting that your kid is such a fuck up? Because I respect the father. The son is just like, and makes you respect the father a lot less when their kids are shit. And you're just like, and sometimes there's nothing you can do. Sometimes you can do everything you can for a kid and they still end up being a fuck up. And I think most people can accept that. But when you see what should be a good kid acting like a complete asshole, you're just like, that's a parent deal. That's not a kid deal. That's not the kid's fault at that point.
And how many times have I seen the complete opposite? Like I have two brothers in mind that I met when I was in Austin, and they're 22 and 24. They run, I don't know if you ever heard of the School of Hard Knocks. They're some of the first guys that started asking questions to rich people and how they became rich. So I met them in Austin. We did a bunch of content together, and I got to spend time with them as individual. They're young, like they're 22, 24, and the third guy's 26. But then I started asking them questions about their fathers, and two of them, the two youngest one, are brothers. And you're like, oh, my dad's military, my dad's a Christian, my dad's this, my dad's that. And he starts talking about all the values that the father has instilled in them. And then you start realizing those guys are making a boatload of money. And you look at them and you're like, you're not surprised. Like once I heard their story, I'm like, okay, I get it. You have a mother and a father that have been together the whole time. They embrace the roles that they had to teach their kids. And you look at the kids now and you're like, this is not surprising at all. You hear the story and you're like, yeah, I get it. I've met multiple guys like them, where they had the proper guidance from a young age. And they're like, today, they're like, man, they're 15 years ahead of what I could have done because I did not have that type of guidance growing up. But it's amazing how structure and somebody that actually cares, because it takes time, right? Most people now don't have time. They don't make the time, should I say.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there's something about building, you know, the, like, America was built on a strong middle class and entrepreneurship and small business. Like, we literally went out and conquered the West, you know, like that it was people that got tired of being crowded in Europe and elsewhere. They came over here. They got tired of living in the East, and they kept pushing. And they did what they could to build society there. And I'm doing this whole series on the history of the meatpacking industry, which there's a very dark, ugly side of it. But just from a sheer like economic standpoint, you took Chicago from a swamp outpost to the global center of meatpacking in the span of about 50 years. And it's incredible that just the story and just the men that built all this stuff. And that, whether the people that started the companies or like the immigrant that came over that was just squeegeeing blood down into a pit on the kill floor, you know, just like hard men and women too. Like there's a lot of women working in there too, but like hard men that just like it was literally a fight for survival and conquest. And it's an ugly story. It's a beautiful story. And it's just fascinating all the way around. But it was masculine, strong men that did what it took. And sometimes it was a little morally questionable. Sometimes it was outright morally unjust what happened. But at the time they fit, that's what needed to happen. And it took men with some stones to do it. You know, that's at the end of it. It took some really masculine men to do it.
If you look at every society, every empire that's ever been built, it had been built on the back of strong men every time.
Yeah.
Even look at today. You know, one of my friends calls it the aquarium effect. But even to this day, you look at our society, it was built by strong men that were ready to die, that were ready to bleed, that were ready to do things that they didn't want to do just because they wanted to create a better place to live for their families. Because at the end of the day, that's all it is. Society are a place that's sheltered from nature where it's hard to survive. And instead of just being surviving, you can strive. Because your brain can only be in two roles. Either you're surviving or you're growing. But you cannot survive and grow at the same time. You can only do one or the other. So by creating spaces, and I'm going to use safe space, but I freaking hate that word, but let's say you create a safe environment for your family and society to be built, that means that they can develop themselves as individual. But you look at now today, the people are so far disconnected from what it took to build this that they don't understand it whatsoever. All they see is this in their head has always been here, will always be here, but they forget that to this day, it is strong men that maintains the society in which you live. And this is why my buddy calls it the aquarium effect. You look at the fishes in an aquarium, they don't understand that there's somebody behind it that makes sure the pH level is always good, that puts food in it, that cleans the actual aquarium for them. But we're like that too. We don't understand. Like most of the people that are in this society today, they don't understand how everything is taken care of for you. Like people don't understand that if you live in North America, you're part of the 1% in the world. You live you could be a homeless guy. You're still part of the 1% of the world just because of everything that's here for you to have to be helped. It's incredible, but we take this for granted to a point where now we hear women say that they don't need men. This is how far disconnected we are. Women telling men that we don't need you. Okay, sure. That just proves how privileged you are and how unaware how unaware of how this society actually works and how it was built. So to your point, men always done what needed to get done. Morally, could it be questionable? Maybe. Yep. I'm sure that in a lot of instances it was the case, but still somebody had to do it. Men always do it. And to this day, 95% of the top 20 most dangerous jobs are done by men. And that's not because women can't do it. That's because women don't want to do it. So we do it because, again, we are providers and we are protectors. And calling a spade, we are disposable. Throughout history, nobody said, let's protect men. No, it's always protect women and children.
Yeah. It's the same way with, like, just on, like, the cattle side of thing. Bulls, I mean, you pay high dollar for a good bull. But that sucker ain't performing, you get him out of there. You're not selling your cows for, your cows go last. You get a new bull first.
And
you go buy semen and artificially inseminate, you know, before you sell your cows. You know, the
cows okay.
are least replaceable.
But you know, the worst part is that, and this is what men don't understand anymore, at least the younger men don't understand that. This is our job. We are meant to serve. We are meant to provide. We're meant to protect. This is what we're supposed to do. Mm. We're meant to be courageous. We are meant to take care. We're meant to serve. Is it fair? Is it easier to live a life as a woman? Abso-fucking-lutely. No questions about it. In the society in which we live today, women have it extremely easy. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's not fair doesn't mean it's your responsibility to do it.
Yeah.
You should be doing it. Men need to be protectors. They need to take it upon themselves because, as we said at the beginning, men are made. They're not born. When a woman, when a teenage girl becomes a woman, is simply because she's able to bear life. We will automatically assume that she's a woman. But that's not the case for men. Men do not become men just by age. They need to bring something to the equation. They need to be wise. They need to have money. They need to have resources. They need to have skills to bring to the equation. That's why rites of passages have been around forever. Not much today, which is a massive problem, but men always had to prove themselves to be capable of doing something in order for their society to approve, to accept them, to say, you know what, you're a man. We can depend on you, because that's what men are supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's like hold the door open for a lady, even if she doesn't appreciate it. Because
100%.
Just what 100%. You're supposed to do. And if she gives you a nasty look, you can talk shit to her as she walks past. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
But that shouldn't stop you from doing it.
No, you do it because that's what you're supposed to do. We're men. And if I think women should show a little bit of gratitude in that, you know, a polite thank you is all that's needed. Even a nod of the head. But if you're going to get a nasty look, I'm going to talk shit as you walk, call you princess or some bullshit, you know.
But it's also our fault, though.
Yeah.
Because fathers are teaching their daughters that they don't need men.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a whole vicious circle.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It'll come to a head at some point. I think we're approaching that point, you know, and like I said, when the military finds or, you know, realizes like, oh, we got a problem with recruitment because nobody wants to go work with a bunch of purple haired they thems. And it's not even that they dislike them as a person. It's just like you can't say anything about them around them or even like casually reference somebody who looks like them, because then it can be misconstrued as some other bullshit and you get sued and whatever. So like nobody wants to do that. I'll just fuck it. I'll go work in the pipeline. You know, I'll go work in the oil field. I can say that.
You know, they're not there. You know, they're not there. You know, they're not there. That's, you can be sure of.
Not there. And nobody's going to get offended. That's why I cowboy for a living. I'm either by myself or I'm around people who know how to take a joke. You know, what's that old? I forget who said it, but like your tribe is supposed to be about like 150 people max is about like is what a tribe is supposed to be. And the older I get, the more I feel like that number is pretty accurate. You know,
tribal leadership talks about that. 150 is about the maximum, because that's about how many people you can remember their names. Or at least recognize. You can only interact with so many people in the day, and about 150 people is what you're capable of as a human being. So everything fractures. Like they talk about this in business, like when a company becomes so big that when they cross around that 150, it starts fracturing and you have multiple tribes within the same company. that have their own ideas, that have their own agenda. So yeah, you're absolutely right. And we're just too big. This is so true. We are too big to function.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it's like you're trying to drive a road course, you know, F1 road course with a, you know, aircraft carrier. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, Nico, this has been an excellent conversation. We covered a lot of topics. I don't know if we accomplished much, but I really enjoyed the discussion. I'm glad to see there's other people that, like, it's okay to be a man. In fact, it's necessary to be a man most 100%. Of the time.
100%. It should be embraced. You know, I will end on this. Being a masculine man does not take anything away from a woman. On the contrary. No. You know, I read this saying, and I should learn who said it, but men protect women not because they're weak, but because they matter.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is what it is. And my girlfriend's 110 pounds. I'm 210 pounds. You don't think I'm the protector? Of course I am. I have 20 years of experience in martial art, gun handling, in fighting. Of course I'm the one that's going to protect her. Does that take anything away from her? No. Absolutely not. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love her. I didn't do it if I didn't care. Mm-hmm.
Right. And a woman that compliments your role as a man, like, she does all a whole bunch of little shit that you never think of that just gets done.
She cares. She cares. If you look at a woman, she cares. Do you think in the morning, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. She gets up a few hours after me. She always brings me more coffee. She always brings me tea. She always makes sure I work like a crazy person. Like, it's 11 o'clock. So I've been working since 3 this morning. And she always takes care of me because she understands that I'm taking care of her. You know, it's, and this does not take anything away from her. And as you said, I'm happy you didn't use complete. You use compliment, and that's exactly that is the proper term. She makes my life easier by me trying to make hers easier as well. That's like, we're just working together towards the same goal, and we have different roles. That's a fact.
Yeah, like the old school feminist had a real, real solid point. Like, hey, we have rights, and we demand that you respect our rights. And I respect that movement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but they also like those old school feminists also recognize that it's a symbiotic relationship, you know, the man and the woman. It always has been, and always will be. There's things that we can't do. A, reproduce offspring, but we can't do that. Like, we get to do the fun part of it, but the actual growing of a child, we don't have any part of that, and we can't. No matter how discombobulated the drugs they put you on makes your mind think, you as a man cannot create a human life inside you. It doesn't happen that way. Sorry about your bad luck, sir. It just doesn't happen that way.
But, no, they're not sirs. They're not sirs. They're men.
I had a Latinx in my bio for a little while, because I'm half Mexican, and I instead of Latinx, I demand it's pronounced Latinx, and just for the sheer comedy of it. But it's just insane that, like, it's, you know, you're starting to see people come around to it where like just common sense people are just like, no, that is not true. Okay, that's not how we do things. And it took way longer than it should have. Way, way longer. But there's people like you, there's people like Joe Rogan, there's people, you know, that provide a solid masculine influence, you know. There's plenty of them out there. Say, like, you know, the resurgence of bow hunting in the world. Like, that's a good thing. Because it's not only is it nerdy, it teaches your mind to think, but it's also, there's a lot of physical prowess that depends on it. And it's just like, it is at the end of the day, it's the ultimate manly activity, is hunting wild game with a bow. That is the most primitive natural instinct that a man has, and to see the resurgence of that, I mean, like the archery industry is booming. Like, I'm okay. Like, we still got an ocean surrounded on around us on each side, and we still got some real men and a whole lot of guns on this.
Yep.
At the end of the day, I'm still pretty content in our overall security, but. Yep. Men to keep that, and so like I was getting a little tubby here, you know. I just turned 38, and I just, like, you know, same way, like I can't be bitching about how soft people are if I'm soft as hell myself. If I can't run a mile without stopping, then I ain't out running a bear, you know. So it's time to you know, you got to take accountability for that shit. So I'm getting back in shape, and I'm trying to ingrain that in my kids to where it's not even a getting into shape. They're just always in shape, and they don't know what it's like to be out of shape. And then that leads to good things in the long run, because they already have a work ethic. They already have a regimen, and their body is going to hold up for longer too. That's another thing, is take care of the body. Like, there's the, you know, God, whoever you believe in, I believe in God, but put a lot of good stuff on this earth for us to use. And we got away from that. We're building man-made shit that's turns out a lot of times not very good for you. It's there's a lot of really powerful stuff that grows in the earth that you just got to use it.
But as you said, it starts with the body. If you understand that there's a body, mind, and spirit, you want to get access to your mind, build your body. Yeah. Because it's visible. It's something that don't lie. Right now, I can take my shirt off and go in front of the mirror and say, you know what? Yes, I've been working out for 21 years. Yes, I take care of what I can see it. There's no bullshit. I know it's there because I do it every day.
Yeah.
There's no lying. But man, if you can get somebody into the gym for a few months, their mind changes. Their mind completely changes. They become more disciplined. They become more self-aware. They finally understand what it is to have an operating mind, because today we treat our body like dumpsters and we wonder why we feel like shit. Change the way you eat. Change the people that are around you. Change what you look at on your phone, the movie you watch, the music that you listen to. You will see, man. Give me 6 months of your time to show you all the little things that you can change, and I guarantee you, I will change your life with you. You will not be the same guy whatsoever.
Yeah. And really, any of those challenges, like, try one, you know, because it all requires that you do it. Like, this is day 72 of the 75 hard. And like, it's tough to get the 2 45 minute workouts a day. You got to read 10 pages, drink a gallon of water, no booze, keep to a diet. It's all doable, but it's tough to get it in, especially if you're working full time. Like, it's tough, but if you do it, you see really good results. I'm down almost 20 pounds and like feel good, look good. I started taking supplements, and it's amazing how much that complements the workout. Like, the supplements themselves will do something, but if you pair it with hard work and exercise, shit, a good diet, like, you see a lot of good results. That's the thing with those supplements, is that, like, by themselves, they don't do much of anything. But you pair it with all the rest of it, you see a lot of good stuff.
You know, I've been doing intermittent fasting for 6 or 7 years. So I normally do, my shortest days are going to be 16, 17 hours of not eating. Like, I haven't ate yet. Like, I'll eat once we hang up. I'll eat, because I haven't ate since like 6 p.m. yesterday. And it's 11:30 now, right? But I've just that, if you can, I can do 3 days with just drinking water, no problem.
Yeah.
But this is mental toughness that people can barely go 6 hours without eating. That's how weak mentally we've become. And I'm not even talking about how good it is for your body, how it resets your whole metabolism. I'm not even talking about the benefits of fasting. I'm just saying mind over matter.
Just the
to me, it's nothing. I do 24 hours without even thinking about it. Some days I'm like, holy shit, it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, when's the last time I ate? Oh man, that was yesterday. I'm like, oh, maybe I should eat. But were how strong my mind is, all because of those little things. Just because I make sure I go to the gym, I make sure I eat right, I make sure that I read a lot, I make sure that I don't listen to garbage all the time, I make sure that I'm surrounded by the right people. If not, I'd rather be alone. I make sure that I challenge myself all the time. Just keep me accountable all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, for like one of the most impactful scriptures I've ever, just sticks with me is Apostle Paul, is study all things and hold fast, which is true. It's like, mm-hmm. if you want to understand the Islamic mind, go read the Quran.
Yep.
Hold the parts.
Not that complicated, huh?
Yeah. If there's going to be parts that make sense to you, hold on to those parts. Discard the stuff that doesn't, the stuff that's not true, but like it'll give you a better idea of how they think. Same way, like go read some Buddha stuff, go read the Book of Mormon, go see how people think. Study all of it. Hold on to the stuff that's true. Discard the rest of it. But it gives you a way to think how other people think, and you can get a lot more accomplished that way. Find out you have a lot in common with people that you thought were completely different.
And not only that, but you have a very misunderstood the world too.
Right.
Like I was in that conversation. I get enough crap from the content that I create that I don't normally interact with a lot of other people's content. But I interacted with somebody yesterday and he just wrote some dumb shit about religions. About how we all have a savior complex, as in we all want to get saved. And I'm like, men, have you ever, one, I Googled the guy that he quoted. The guy doesn't even exist. So he's one of those idiots that just copy paste shit online and things that, mm-hmm. It's online, it's true. So I started challenging him and I'm like, bro, who's that guy?
That in 1843.
Yeah. But, I challenged the guy and I'm like, can you give me who that guy is? Because I can't find him. He's like, oh, I don't know. I just copy pasted. I'm like, okay, hold on. So not only are you copy pasting stupidness from somebody you don't know, you're actually copying pasting something that you have no understanding of. Have you ever read one of those books that you're talking against? He's like, no. So how can you speak? He's like, but it's still true. I agree with that message. I'm like, do you not recognize how much of an idiot you are? You're literally saying that you agree with a message that was written by somebody that doesn't exist, that talks about something that they have no idea about,
mm-hmm.
and you agree with it while never have read any of the references that you've actually stated. I'm like, is this really where what we've become?
Yeah.
Is this really where we're at?
Yeah. Yeah, it's essentially people reposting an Onion headline and getting outraged by it, or a Babylon Bee headline, like
Babylon Bee's awesome.
I'm a fan of the Onion too. Yeah, like they did excellent work for a long time. It's funny but people are so busy it's all clickbait. Just like headline, and like. So you don't actually know what happened. You just you're regurgitating what somebody else said and deceptively said too. That's the whole part of it. And it's my entire life growing up, it was like CNN, MSNBC crowd versus the Fox News crowd. And then at some point you realize they're both full of so much shit, and they're the only thing, their main goal is to work your anger up to a certain level and then go to a commercial break and leave you hanging, just foaming at the mouth to find out what's going on now about the goddamn liberals and what they did today. And just
Denzel Washington said it best. If you read the news, you're misinformed. If you don't, you're misinformed. Sorry. If you read the news, you're misinformed. If you don't, you're uninformed. So there's no winning. There's no winning at all, no matter what.
Yeah. And
accept that it's all garbage.
Right. That's kind of, you find some people who you think are not lying to you. That's the biggest thing. Is like, they seem like they're telling you the truth as far as they can tell. you know, if you trust them, listen to those folks. There's a certain people, and I don't trust really anybody wholeheartedly as far as news goes, but like there's a handful of people that I for the most part, like, yeah, these guys do a pretty good job. And then I just read it all, just try to read as much as I can and figure out it's, I always hate that in the middle, but there's always he said, she said, and then there's whatever actually happened. And then maybe it's in the middle, maybe it's completely different, but there's like three sides of the story. And sometimes there's like eight sides to the story. Who knows?
I think it comes down to morality. When you understand the morals, you can look at news. I post a lot about the news because I always try to bring it back to masculinity. Like, I show things and I'm like, you see, that was toxic behavior that they did towards somebody else, and now it's biting them in the ass. Like Eric Adams, for example. Perfect example. What he spewed bullshit, now it's biting him in the ass. So I will post about him and say, you know what? Don't feel too bad for this guy. Because he looked for it.
Yeah.
But this is why you can't do this shit. This is why you're supposed to stand up to this stuff. And don't worry, I think this is what's important. But it's the morality.
They'll throw him under as a sacrificial lamb when it's appropriate. Don't worry. All this corruption stuff that's happening with him, like, something will come of it, and he'll either step down or they'll use it to their benefit. But Uncle Joe will take a fall at some point, you know, whether it's a mental or, you know, a health issue and he has to step away or whatever. But he'll be the sacrificial lamb at some point, just like Eric Adams.
They don't have a choice. They don't have a choice.
They have to.
They don't have a choice.
They're trying to keep him pumped full of enough cocaine and Adderall to keep him alive in the meantime. Until Newsom's good and ready, I guess. That seems to be what their next move is Newsom. But I don't know. Anyways, we could go on for days about all this shit. But I really like your mindset. I like, I'm going to have to start consuming more of your content. But we'll stay in touch. And I really enjoyed this conversation, Nico.
Thanks, man. It's been a while since I did a Joe Rogan type of podcast. It's been a very long time. Normally, it's bang, 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 bang. That was good. I appreciate it, man. It was great meeting you. Thanks for the conversation. I like these types of conversation. It's cool to go a bit everywhere, and it's not controlled too much.
Yes, sir. Well, how do they find you?
Podmatch.
Podmatch. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, well, like for the audience, how do they find any of your?
Oh shit. They can find me on whatever social media platform. I'm like on eight of them. So at Real Nico Lagan, you can find me. Just look for the bald-headed French guy, and that's me.
There you go. Awesome. Well, Nico, I sure appreciate it once again. And everybody go check out his stuff. And you're a man. It's okay. It's necessary. And go be one. Be a good man. And have a good week. And Nico, you take care. Everybody else, move your ass. We're burning daylight.
You rise up in the morning beneath the stars so bright. Pull your hat down, make sure your cinch is tight. Horse is kind of snuffy, cold chill up your spine. We'll get your ass moving, son, we're burning daylight. Burning daylight. Burning daylight. In the saddle till the job's done. Just a gather, and you won't catch them all. But when you ride through the gate, make sure you sit up tall. I can see the horizon, it's looking pretty bright. Well, get your ass moving, son, you're burning daylight. Burning daylight. Burning daylight. In the saddle till the job's done right.